Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I am Tim Keller. I will be acting as the host going forward. Don't worry, though. Tyler's still here. And as a matter of fact, Tyler's team just won a very, very impressive football game today. So we'll start with you, Tyler. How are you doing today, buddy?
I am fantastic. It is a beautiful, beautiful night. And it is a wonderful thing seeing your team move on into the Super Bowl. Tim, you were telling me to breathe early through the day. But then earlier you said, I don't remember what it feels like because it's been so long for the Eagles. So Yeah, I had a friend who's a Packers fan that didn't text me for a good week and a half. And he finally texted me about third quarter and said, now, can you finally call it? Like you guys were saying, can you guys finally call it? And finally, when they were up, what was it? 37 to, I want to say 14 or something like that. But they were up by a good chunk, and that's when I knew it was okay. And he told me, he's like, enjoy it. He's like, it's a wonderful feeling. Yeah, it's a good day.
The Falcons reign supreme over the NFC. And sadly, when one team wins, the other team has to lose. And Tyler won today. Chris, sadly, living in the Boston area, the Pats going to another Super Bowl, this feels kind of like a loss, doesn't it?
I'm unfortunately too used to it. So, I mean, what are you going to do? If anything, I would say it's calmer than it used to be, but it's still obnoxious as hell. But what are you
sound
do?
Like a Patriots fan by saying that. Oh, well, I'm used to it.
No,
another one.
See, the thing is, the Patriots make the playoffs every year, so I got to hear it then anyways. Oh, the Patriots were 10-6. I'm telling you, kid, they're going all the way this year.
Yeah, when's the last time they didn't win the division? Was that 14, 15 years ago now?
No. They lost, I think, twice in the Brady era, two or three times.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure Sanchez won it twice with the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. No? At least once. But, I know that because that's a very sore spot.
I know they went to the Super Bowl that one time with Sanchez, but
they
won the conference championship. Championship. I'm sorry.
I don't think they won the division, though.
The Patriots have not won 16 straight.
I thought they've been on a crazy streak. The number might be off, but I thought they've been on a streak.
Hold on.
We're going to do this on air.
All right, let's see if we can figure this out first.
Well, you guys do that research. I'm going to go ahead and intro the show a little bit.
Won the conference championship.
What?
I'm asking Google.
Oh, you're talking out loud. Okay, that's what you're doing. So, Tim, now you can do your job.
Okay. So now, while we do the research, I'm going to go ahead and start to intro the show a little bit. Today, we'll be doing a segment called, What the Hell Do I Do With These Guys? This is something Chris brought up, so we'll let Chris get into that a little bit later. But before we get into anything, I want to bring up our sponsors. Our very first sponsor is the Sit or Start app. It is the premium app for all your sit or start questions. Now, obviously, we're in the off season, so you're probably not setting too many lineups these days, but it's a great tool to have for next season. And this off season, don't worry, there's plenty of news feeds. They're going to have rankings, statistical breakdowns, and decisions to help you out with trades. Check it out now. It's on the Apple iTunes Store as well as the Google Play Store. So go and get the Sit or Start app. You will not be disappointed. Highly recommended.
Tim. All right.
So I got it.
No, I've had it for 15 seconds. The Jets won in 02.
That's what she said.
The Mighty Mighty Dolphins won in 08. And that's basically it. Like won the division as in like in the regular season.
All right. So 8 years. So then they won what?
08 was the Matt Castle year, right?
No, 2000. Yeah, was it? Oh, God, this is terrible. This is terrible podcasting.
Yes. Anywho, they won a lot.
Yeah, they've won a lot. There's been a couple mistakes there for the Pats, but we'll go on to our second sponsor, that being MyFantasyLeague.com, or as it is lovingly known in the Dynasty community, MFL. It is hands down the best website to host your fantasy leagues on. Now, obviously, if you're listening to us, you're pretty deep into Dynasty Fantasy Football, so I'm going to assume that you probably have a working knowledge of MyFantasyLeague.com, but go out and recommend it to a friend because not everybody plays on MyFantasyLeague, and we should try to get as many teams and leagues onto the site as possible. And then once you sign up with MyFantasyLeague.com, make sure you go over to MyFantasyGraphics.com. They will completely customize your page. You give them a rough outline of an idea of what you would like your page to look like, if it's some sort of theme, and they will customize your page to your standards and make a thing that is 100% your own. MFL does a great job with their skins, but you can take it at one step notch further and make it something completely original by using myfantasygraphics.com. If you go over to myfantasygraphics.com, let them know that the Happy Hour sent you. You'll get 20% off your first order. You won't be disappointed. So now that we got all that out of the way, why don't we go ahead and get into this little topic that Chris brought to us, the what the hell do I do with these guys? So Chris, the floor is yours. Let us know exactly what's going to happen here.
All right. Now, if you're listening to us, you probably know that we love segments, and this is one I'm actually particularly fond of. We haven't done it before, but I like the concept. So long story
James
short.
Fonda? James Fonda?
Jane. Jane.
Same That's thing. The
No, I'm pretty sure James Fonda and Jane Fonda are two wildly different people, but
It could be the same. I think he lost
too many fluids post Falcons win. I think that's the problem. Replenish yourself. Anyways, it's a very simple concept here. We're looking at players who have changing situations, whether they're becoming their upcoming free agents, maybe they're possible cut candidates due to the salary cap, or maybe they're just overachievers or underachievers coming into a kind of murky or maybe a good situation. Basically, we're going to talk about what we would do if we own these players, what we would do if we didn't own these players, and what their value is for both buying and selling. Each one of them is going to get 90 seconds. I think I have 6 and the two of you have 7 each. And that's basically about it. So 90 seconds each, I'm going to be in charge of the stopwatch here, and I will interrupt the hell out of you. And the decision in the who got what players was very intentional. There's a reason for it. If you listen to us, I wanted to forcefully mix this up. Because Tyler likes to talk about CJ ProSize far
too much. Yeah, it's not a real guy. Come on.
Listen, James Fonda. Anyways.
It's a thing. It's somebody.
It's somebody somewhere. I'm sure there's a James Fonda somewhere. Exactly. But anyways.
That's what I meant.
So I'm actually going to go to Tyler first, kind of mix this up. So your first group or player is CJ Anderson. What are you doing with CJ Anderson? It's a little weird situation going on with him. So why don't you talk about what's going on with him, what you're going to do with him, values, whatever you want. You got 90 seconds starting now.
I feel weird because I've never been an Anderson fan, but his value seems low to me, almost too low, especially in home leagues with people, not like Sharks with us, probably in the league that we just drafted in. You can't get him for that cheap. But I mean, CJ Anderson is kind of that, you know, forget type thing. Forget and people just, oh yeah, I'll ship him off for a late second, an early third. The draft fever kicks in. It's getting around that time of the year. And yeah, I think you can get CJ Anderson for 60 cents on the dollar, maybe, which is pretty good. And for a 25-year-old starting running back that just got McCoy, and I love McCoy as a coordinator. So, and who's there? Who's the other guy they brought in? I'm drawing a blank. They just brought in like two big time coaches.
Vance Donald. The guy from Miami, the new head coach.
No. Oh. They brought him in with McCoy, but anywho.
Oh yeah.
But anywho, they've got good offensive coaches. So this team looks like it's trying to go for another Super Bowl run next year. Look for them to add a quarterback. And yeah, I think CJ Anderson, when healthy, is a good running back. And it's the first time I've probably been on him. So yeah, buy him.
That's pretty bold, honestly. I'm not against buying him. I just, if you're seeing him that cheap, then absolutely. I mean, his value is kind of in flux. So that's interesting. If you're seeing that kind of stuff, I'm not a CJ Anderson guy, but I would definitely buy for that price. If you're seeing for a mid to late second, sure. I thought his value was higher, but I'm, you know, definitely could be wrong on
yeah,
that one.
I mean, like I said, I've never been a CJ Anderson guy. So yeah, I mean, as long as they don't bring anybody in, it might work out.
All right, Tim, you are up and you get probably the sexiest free agent this year, one Alshon Jeffrey. So you know the rule by now, what's going on here. So talk about some Alshon here.
Well, Alshon Jeffrey, you kind of mentioned, is a very sexy free agent wide receiver. He alone, I am going to say, is probably a sexier free agent wide receiver than the entire free agent wide receiver class of last year. A lot of duds last year, but I honestly haven't heard too many big time rumors for Alshon Jeffrey as of yet. Going into the contract year, people were expecting big numbers. He only had 52 catches this year, plus the suspension. for the PEDs, that is not a good look. When you're trying to showcase yourself to get another decent sized contract, he's 26. I want to say he's about to be 27 in like February, if I'm right. But the guy's very skilled. He's a very talented wide receiver. I think a team like the Pats, they brought in Michael Floyd, I think, to have like a trial run. If Michael Floyd is somebody that they don't have interest in keeping next year, I think a guy like Alshon Jeffrey could be somebody that at least maybe kick the tires on, see what they can get. The Ravens, I think, are another team that's going to need a veteran wideout that can play the outside. We'll get into a little bit more of this later, as I have some other people on my list. But Alshon Jeffrey is a highly skilled wide receiver and definitely going to be a very highly coveted piece for a lot of teams out there looking for that veteran wide receiver in the free agent market.
Now, you said it's better than last season. I mean, look at the game Sanu just had. Let's not go that far.
He had what? He had like two games at the very start of the season. Then it was a very long drought with almost no production to really hang your hat on. And then he's had a couple decent games in the playoffs so far.
Was his contract? $7.5 million? $7.5 million a year? Yeah, I think it's $7 million.
For number two, it's a pretty decent contract. He got a good contract for sure. Yeah,
the best offense in the league, and he still did nothing, basically.
Maybe they were just saving him this whole time. Maybe this is the plan.
Totally. Yep. Although he played very well, he made a lot of bad drops. Let's just get that out there, too.
Taylor Gabriel is garbage.
That was the worst. That was the worst drop.
I'm sorry, but this whole hype about him being the slot guy, man, you can't drop that. You can't drop those. Ugh, okay, go on.
All right, so my first one up here is the situation of wide receivers in New York for the Jets. Long story short, I mean, I think it's very tumultuous what's going on there. I mean, we kind of look at Decker and Marshall as being stable. I'm not actually so sure. Both of them have really high cap hits this year, but it would be not a lot of dead money. So I actually think it's very possible they actually both get cut. I don't actually think this is all out of the realm of possibilities. And so I would actually be staying away from Marshall completely. Decker, if you're buying him, you're hopefully getting him very cheap on the idea that he probably won't be in New York. And if you want to do that, that's not so bad, but I'm not looking for anything more than like 2/3. I would not be one to pay more than 2/3 for Decker. I like Decker a lot. I think he's a great overachiever, but man, I mean, he could just end up in the Browns. I mean, in all seriousness, and I don't want that. But for the others, for Anunua, for Robbie Anderson, for Jalen Marshall, I'm not investing in any of these guys at all. I don't like them whatsoever. I don't think any of them is really special in any way. I would look to New York to either sign a free agent. They're also, to me, a spot they could get Alshon because they're going to be cutting a lot of cap space this year between Revis, Marshall, Decker, possibly. And I just think that they could get somebody like Alshon. I think that they could simply draft somebody highly. I mean, they're in total rebuild mode, and I can't see a wide receiver flourishing there for actually quite some time. So I would be staying away from New York Jets wide receivers completely, current and potential cut candidates. So that's basically it for that. That means Tyler. Yeah, what's up?
I do. Okay. In the recent startup with Decker, I got him in the 10th, 11th round. Is that kind of what you'd pay in a startup right now?
Yes. Yeah, I'd pay that in a startup. It's more about trade value because I think I saw him recently go for like 2.01 or 2.02. That's a little too much for me. I mean, you're paying as if he didn't get injured this past year.
Yeah.
So that's a little scary for me. But no, 10th, 11th, 12th round, that's pretty okay for me because, I mean, who else was around at that point? I mean, let's be serious. For wide receivers that have done what he's done, not very many. So, yeah, I mean, I obviously like him more than like a Larry Fitzgerald. And I think Larry Fitzgerald actually went earlier than that, if I'm not mistaken, in that. Yeah, that startup. But Tyler, that brings up one Kirk Cousins. Talking about tumultuous situations, maybe, or at least rumored to be. Kirk Cousins. So what do you got on him? I mean, there's a lot of talk he could be going other places.
Yeah, the recent news is kind of interested me a little more in Cousins because if Shanahan does go, he still hasn't fully accepted the job. I'm hoping he stays. That's just a little bit of optimism, but I'm pretty sure he will. But Kirk Cousins going to his system, which has shown to work. And with Carlos Hyde already, they do need an offensive line, a better one. But with Kirk Cousins going there, I could see something. I mean, they do need some more weapons. What if they brought in Cousins? What if they brought in Alshon? What if they brought those two in? They have tons of cap. And they build around that Shanahan offense. Honestly, I do think it will take Cousins 2 years, like it did with Ryan, to fully understand the system. They were talking about it today during the game, if you watched, that it's a very vocalized system. There's a lot of things to say in the huddle. And Matt Ryan was so focused on saying the play and not figuring out what he's going to do during the play the first year. And that's why he said his struggles were from that. So Kirk Cousins is a smarter guy. He's kind of in that Matt Ryan mold, but not as good, kind of a poor man's Matt Ryan. So honestly, I think San Francisco is a good situation. If you can buy him now before anything happens, I would do it.
See, I actually think the opposite. I think if you wait till, you know, let's say he goes to San Francisco, I think his value is going to drop off completely. I think he's going to go from like that 9 to 12 QB range down to like that 16 to 18 range in terms of value and cost. So if he goes to San Francisco, I agree, you should be buying him because it'll be the long-term con kind of thing. Like, you're going to definitely bank in the long term on him, but it may be rough for a year, maybe two even. All right, but Tim, that brings us to you. And as you already mentioned, you alluded to Mike Wallace and Breshad Perriman. This is kind of a weird situation because you already brought up the possibility of Alshon going to Baltimore. I mean, there are many different likely scenarios where Baltimore brings in somebody, but there's also the possibility they don't bring in anybody. So, I mean, Mike Wallace, Breshad Perriman, what are you doing with these two?
Well, you put Mike Wallace on the list because of a potential cap casualty, and looking at his cap number, I think he's $8 million against the cap next year with his roster bonus, his signing bonus, and then his $4-some-odd million salary. So $8 million, he was their number one receiver this year. So $8 million for a team's number one isn't a too big of a number necessarily, but you're talking about a guy who's 30 years old. He's probably going to be 31, I want to say, to start the beginning of next season. Steve Smith is retiring. And then that leads us to Breshad Perriman, the next receiver when it came to yardage and touches here this year. 33 catches, 3 touchdowns. He did begin to flash the second half of the season, so that's something you want to kind of build on. You like to see that for sure. But then if you let Mike Wallace go and you don't get anybody through free agency, you're looking at guys like Aiken, Waller, Chris Moore as your next group of guys at receiver. So that would kind of force their hand if they can't land somebody in free agency to really have to probably draft somebody pretty highly in the NFL draft to try to take Steve Smith and Mike Wallace place in the future. So I look for the Baltimore Ravens to definitely try to sign somebody if they don't keep Wallace around. But as of right now, I haven't heard anything about Wallace going anywhere.
Yeah, the thing about Waller's actually converted to tight end a year ago, and mm-hmm. Aiken's actually a free agent as well. So, I mean, maybe they keep Aiken now on the cheap because they can get him really cheap because he was a bust last mm-hmm. year. But yeah, that's a scary situation. I mean, Perriman could see himself as the number one there. He could also see himself as the number three there. So that's a little bit spooky. And I mean, again, Perriman was a first-round pick. So, I mean, what are they going to do? Invest another first-round pick in a mid-pick?
I think you'll know if they're going to invest. If they don't get Wallace to stay and they don't get anybody through free agency, I think they're going to go into the season thinking that Perriman's going to be the one. So you have to like that if you're a Perriman owner. Yep. But I would very much suspect them to spend a first or second-round pick on a wide receiver if that's the case.
Not the best class to be doing so either, unfortunately.
Nope.
All right, so next one up for me is one Jonathan Stewart in the overall Carolina Panthers backfield. Right now, honestly, this is a big red flag. I am not investing in anybody there whatsoever. I mean, unless they bring somebody in through free agency, which I don't see happening, I imagine they're getting somebody in the draft. I would imagine a top five running back going there. I expect a bigger power running back, so a Fournette. Maybe a Pirine. I imagine somebody, maybe even a Deonta Foreman. That's a possibility. They're going to have to get somebody that can take pressure off of Cam Newton, and a power back does that very well. Jonathan Stewart, he's flash at times. I mean, he had a great 2015 season, you know, all things considered. But 2016 was pretty lackluster, under 800 yards, I believe. He's owed a decent amount of money as well. I just can't. He's 30 years old. He's had far more injury-killed seasons, and he's actually had full or even close to full seasons. So I'm staying away from Jonathan Stewart altogether. If you're able to sell him, I'd be all over selling him. I sold him for 2/3 in the middle of the season or near the middle of the season, and I was more than happy with it because I'm not sure really what else you're going to get more for him. So I'm kind of staying away from this backfield until they draft somebody, which is highly expected pretty much across the board by all draft analysts and all rookie analysts. So stay away. If you have him, try and get rid of him as much as you can. Package him up with Cameron Darius Payne. Sell the idea of getting the main running back in the handcuff, something like this. But get him off your team because they're going to become dead weight very soon.
Yeah, it's actually funny that you mentioned that you got him for two seconds because
No. I sold him for 2/3.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. 2/3. I actually tried selling him in contract league, and it was his contract extension. So this was actually last year I had him under contract. Mm-hmm. His salary was about $28 for a $300 total cap.
That's a lot.
And I tried selling him for fours. I offered everybody in the league him for a fourth. Nobody bit. Nobody. Wow. Not even contenders. I was a third worst team. I knew I wasn't going to make it. I want to get rid of that cap, just kind of pick up some free agents. But yeah, it was nobody took it. And yeah, it just says.
I'm surprised.
And another thing that's telling is all the mocks you see, it's Fournette going 8 to Carolina. Yep. That just shows a lot.
Indeed. But Tyler, you're back up again with Rob Kelly. This is a pretty interesting one that not many people are talking about, either because they think it's guaranteed he's a starter or not. So, I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, Rob Kelly, just go with it. You can say whatever you want. Not even going to lead you.
Just a jag. He's a jag.
Jag.
And, yeah, I mean, you don't see talent. He just finds holes. He gets 3, 4, 5.
That's what she said.
He just gets like 3, 4, 5 yards and then maybe bust off his long 15-yarder, you know, to get the stats up there. You know, but you don't see him breaking these long runs. Let's not forget, this is a guy Tim really likes. Keith Marshall's still on the roster. And he wasn't actually able to show much. I know he struggled through the
camp, and then he had some preseason injuries.
The being on the field thing he kind of struggled with mostly.
Yeah, most of his career too. But he's the talent there. And I'm kind of hoping he rises from the ashes. And he would be the guy I would actually be looking to buy instead of Kelly. You could probably get Kelly for an early second, late first right now. I know.
If I was selling, I could
get that. Okay. And I actually mid-season, I picked him off of free agents. 2 weeks later, sold him for Tyler Lockett straight up.
Gladly would do that.
Wow. Yeah, it was great. It was a guy who I actually just traded Matt Jones and Chris Thompson for a first, and that first ended up being 104.
So he was stacking the Redskins backfield.
Yes, sir. But yeah, I got 104 and Tyler Lockett for the Redskins backfield.
Wow. That is wow. I'm really surprised by that. All right. That means
it's a home league. So
yeah, still. I mean, that's not bad at all. All right. So Tim, that brings you back up with one Tyrod Taylor. That in and of itself is more than enough. Knock yourself out.
Well, yeah, I'll be honest. I have never been a big fan of Tyrod Taylor. And in all honesty, I've never been a big fan of the running quarterback style to begin with, period. I think for the most part, most of them are pretty fragile. They take more hits than the average quarterback does. And once they start to run, they no longer are protected by the same rules as a quarterback in the pocket. So you can take some, you know, a slightly nastier hit, you know, the blindside hits, things like that. Tyrod Taylor, though, I believe that he will be a cap casualty for the Buffalo Bills. I want to say his cap hit is in the $15 million range next year, and that's just too much for, in my opinion, a middling NFL quarterback. Obviously, his fantasy production when he's healthy with his rushing ability is very, very nice. I've seen plenty of fantasy teams win games with Tyrod Taylor because he can break off a couple runs, get a couple touchdowns with his feet. That definitely helps when you're playing the game of fantasy football, but the NFL doesn't rely on those sort of points. They need touchdowns. So his cap hits too much. I think the Bills let him go. So you're looking at Cleveland might take a look. San Francisco might take a look. I've heard a rumor that even Denver might take a look, but I think that is kind of the long shot. I think his best two spots are in Cleveland, San Francisco, and I don't like either one of those.
This scares me a lot. I really like Tyrod Taylor, and I actually think he is. Okay, I think he's an NFL starting quarterback. But that's kind of about it. That's the thing. Like, I think he's more than enough for a starter, but he's a transitional quarterback at best. I mean, you cannot invest in him. That's the main problem. And I get why teams don't want to. I get it completely.
He's in that group of quarterback that teams look at and be like, he's fine, but we're not going to win a Super Bowl with him.
He's fine until we can draft somebody who's better.
We should continually look at other options.
Absolutely. Yes. I agree completely. All right. So that brings me up to... actually, one of my favorite ones in this one, maybe that's why I gave it to myself here, But it's Spencer Ware and Jamal Charles. Yeah, I'm selfish. I'm going to admit it.
I look forward to hearing this one.
And then you sit there and give yourself that, and then you give me my next guy.
I don't know what your next one is, so I don't know yet.
You'll find out.
When I scroll back down, I'll see it. But yeah, this is actually one of my favorite ones because it's actually one of the more ignored ones. Because if you check out sites like DLF or Dynasty Nerds, you're going to see Spencer Ware really inflated price, and I don't really understand it. He had one really good game, a few meh, and the rest are kind of not good. And like, yeah, he looked really good that his first like 3 weeks or so, but he got concussed and he was just kind of mediocre at best really since then. And Jamal Charles, I think, is being too undervalued. I don't want to invest in him unless you're getting him in like the 18th round of a startup, which I just did with you two. But other than that, I don't want to invest in him either. I really think there's a very decent chance that Charles gets cut. And I just think that Spencer Ware is pretty much overall underwhelmed in pretty much every way. So I would not be surprised if they either invest in somebody or in the draft, or they bring in somebody also mediocre through free agency and simply just make it the dreaded running back by committee, 3 or even 4-way addition. Maybe give Tyreek Hill some more play. Maybe get Christian Michael or something like a player like this, Terrence West, like this caliber of player, somebody who's not good enough to cut, but not good enough to be a full back, like somebody just usurps touches. But yeah, I don't want to invest in either one of them. If you have Spencer Ware, absolutely sell the crap out of him. If you can get Jamal Charles for a third or something like that, I'm all for it because his upside, you'll be able to sell him for a second if he flashes for a game or two. So I'm all for that. But yeah, that's pretty much with those two. I stay away from Kansas City running backs right now. It's a long story short. Oh, this one. Yeah. But you're excited about this one or you're not excited about this one? I thought this was a good one for you.
Oh, okay.
No, seriously. Really? Tim, what about you? Would you have wanted this next one for Tyler? Unmute your mic.
I was getting that.
I was waiting for I wanted to say that so bad. For those of you that can't see, he had the face like he's just really getting excited to talk.
Yeah.
And
I was trying to get to the mute button, but I actually this offseason I was the guy out of the three of us that was highest on this player for sure.
Well, yeah, because both Tyler and I had him in like the 30s.
I probably have the most interest in him, but that's why.
Is that the reason? Exactly. Because everybody knows my point of view on him. Everybody knows your point of view on him. But Tyler hasn't really said much of anything on Paul Perkins. Tyler, take it. All right.
Paul Perkins, I was high on in the rookie drafts. And then as time went on, when the Giants took him, it was a muddled backfield. I didn't know if he was going to get some time. Well, he did. And when he showed me behind a Giants offensive line that isn't as bad as people thought, I mean, it really turned around towards the end of the season. And Perkins just looked okay. He looked like a backup running back, somebody that could come in, fill in for the star who's tired. Honestly, I can guarantee they bring in a big power back. Like we have here, Jennings is a cap cut probably. Vereen's going to be back. And Perkins isn't a great talent. He doesn't have good speed. He has good lateral agility, but that's about it. I mean, he doesn't have good bursts. When I watched tape on him as a rookie, he was in UCLA, he reminded me of a poor man's Devonta Freeman. And Freeman really had better work ethic. He had the want. Yep. And Perkins doesn't seem like he shows that. And Freeman has gotten extremely better throughout the years. And Perkins needs to show me more if I'm willing to buy him.
Wow, that was a lot quicker than I thought it was going to be. Tyler, are you a Star Wars fan?
Yeah, I am.
They're on Facebook, the Star Wars page published this great video of the final scenes of A New Hope, number 4. And with Michael Scott saying that's what she said. To all of it, it correlates a lot better than you think. It's quite phenomenal. I was wildly surprised. I'm not a fan of The Office, and I was giggling. All right, now Tim, these are two players that I think are very similar and yet a little bit different. So the next two up are LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray. You know what? I'll be nice. Instead of 90 seconds, I will give you just over 2 minutes. There you go.
Sounds like we're 10 years all the time.
Yeah, really, no, it's really that might be more than enough time, honestly. We'll start with LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy is in my neck of the woods, the hometown boy, went to high school in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, goes to Pitt, gets drafted by the Eagles, does so good there, then he ends up in Buffalo. But we're talking about a guy who is two carries away from 1,900 career carries. That's just carries. I'm without going and looking up his receiving stats, I guarantee you he's somewhere in the 2,500 touch range throughout his career. That is a lot of work on any player. Buffalo, they got some production this year from Gillisley. They have Jonathan Williams that they drafted, who was another running back. I was higher on him than Alex Collins, both coming out of Arkansas. So I think they have some talent there behind LeSean McCoy. And then we'll go over to DeMarco Murray. Very talented running back, but he's also, I want to say he's somewhere in like the 1,500 range. Doesn't catch the ball nearly as much as LeSean McCoy. So his total career touches aren't nearly in the same ballpark as LeSean. But plenty of work for these guys, especially Murray the past 3 years. I want to say he's averaged somewhere around like 300 touches the past 3 years, or 300 carries, I want to say, the past 3 years. So that's a lot of work on a running back. And obviously, especially Chris, is very high on the backup talent there in Tennessee with Derrick Henry waiting in the wings. We saw at the end of the season, Derrick Henry really started.
Antonio Andrews? Chris, you're high on Antonio Andrews?
I was high on David Cobb for the longest time.
You had to be high to be high on David Cobb, that's for sure.
You mean Jordan Howard's a backup?
But anyway, Bishop
Sankey right now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You mean AP's backup?
I'm kidding, Tim. Oh, the other Tim.
God. Both Tim Torch and I have this weird.
Oh, you do too? I didn't know you did.
Yeah, I have. I hold something there from. What happened was I liked him, but I didn't like where he was being drafted in a rookie draft that year. And then immediately when that price fell, I'm like, I can get him on the cheap. So I got him in a bunch of places, and he's just sitting around doing nothing.
Where was he going at the time that you did, like, that you saw the most of? Because I saw a huge fluctuation in,
for rookie drafts.
105. Yes. I saw
him as high as 102.
And I saw him at 101 in one league.
Oh,
yeah.
I think
was a league called We Make Terrible Decisions.
It was just called Amateur Hour. But yeah.
Oh. Close enough.
I've seen him at 102 back all the way to like 107, but I wasn't comfortable with him there. But the second I saw a price drop in him, I was trying to buy him up in a lot of places, and now he's just roster fodder.
Yeah. And I do want to say, if you do want to hear Tim's old takes about this past rookie draft, go listen to the older episodes of his old podcast, The Dynasty Red Zone. We'll bring it back from the grave. I just want to mention that is the reason why we are choosing him to host a show, if anybody's asking, because he was fantastic on that. And it's like playing Brock Osweiler when you have Tom Savage. I'm Brock Osweiler. He was Savage. Why are we doing that?
I like Savage.
Maybe Deshaun Watson should come in and just kind of rule it all.
No, really, we're not going to take Deshaun Watson.
Real quick, I want to finish my point with DeMarco Murray. Chris loves Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a very talented running back there as a backup in Tennessee. I would not be surprised if we saw a much closer 50-50 split going into next year. And I'm willing to bet that Derrick Henry is the more talented of the two and will start to push DeMarco out of the scene. I was just getting ready to bring that up. Tyler brought it up months ago. The gaslight, we saw it come on, and it got brighter and brighter towards the end of the season. Once that gaslight comes on, it is real hard to fill her back up.
Real quick question for you. Who has more value in terms of rookie pick value, LeSean McCoy or DeMarco Murray?
I would say DeMarco Murray at the present moment. Just he's in a sexier situation, I think. He's on an up-and-coming team. The Bills, while things are changing in Buffalo, there's a lot of unanswered questions. So I think there's a concern with pretty much any Bills player right now.
Okay.
Until some questions are answered.
All right. Now, my next one up is one William, whatever his middle name is, Fuller. I was going to try and make up some like William J. Fuller, but I couldn't think of the letter that sounded the best.
She just went Robert.
William Robert Fuller III. So I'm going with Will Fuller here. And man, I got to be honest, he scares the crap out of me. What I thought before Tyler converted me has more or less come true. And I'm kicking myself for believing Tyler for a few months and letting him convince me.
Never trust me.
And that's why in the movie Dynasty League, I traded him as part of that package to get Mike Evans, because he scares the crap out of me. He underperformed, man. He fell behind C.J. Fedorowicz. And over, yes, at the end of the season, their stats are almost the same, except for Fedorovic has two more touchdowns. But in terms of points, Fedorovic outpointed him. Outpointed. And he actually was not that far away from Ryan Griffin, the second tight end on the Houston Texans. So, I mean, as long as Brock Osweiler is there and they don't have somebody who can actually throw the ball further than 6.5 yards or 6.25 yards, that scares the crap out of me. If you're able to sell Fuller for a first in any way, please do. I don't care if it's the 112. I don't even care if it's the 116. He is just spooky as hell to me. I cannot invest in him right now. If you want to hold on to him and hope that he gains value in a year or two, you have the time for that. I get that completely. That's more than okay. But if you're looking to cash out and get a first, I would be more than content with that. And yes, Tyler, you should have sold him. You should have sold him for two firsts in week three. I know.
I still love him. And I still think he's a great best ball guy. So,
yeah, sure. I just don't think most people play in best ball leagues in Dynasty.
Tim and I do.
In Dynasty, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a full league that, okay. I was in one that did it 1 year. It was supposed to be a Dynasty. We all drafted for Dynasty. The one dude who drafted it as a redraft won and then disbanded the league. He was a commissioner. Total douche move.
Wow.
Yeah. yeah.
Wow.
All right, Tyler. Here are some players for you that you never talk about, and I loved doing this one for you. So you got Cameron Meredith and Kevin White. These are two players that whenever we brought them up, you avoided them, which I understand why. But we got to talk about them. I mean, they're really – I'm under the impression Alshon's not coming back. So let's just assume for your little story here you're going to talk about, Alshon is not coming back. Cam Meredith, Kevin White. Go on.
I plead the fifth.
That's what she said.
Well, okay, Cameron Meredith and Kevin White are very interesting, and you got Cameron Meredith, who is the converted defensive back type guy, and then you got Kevin White, who's the high draft pick, the one-year wonder from West Virginia. Well, a little backstory on Cam Meredith. I actually just sold him in the listener league with Charles Sims for an 18 first. My team is trash. I am years away from competing. I have completely screwed that team up, as we brought up in a past podcast, but go back and listen to that and hear how bad it is. But Cameron Meredith showed well, I thought. He showed well enough to where I do think he'd be a good number two on a team. I don't think he would be a good number one. If Jeffrey leaves and Kevin White is not, you know, as good as people are making him out to be, Cameron Meredith is going to struggle with coverage shifting to him. He is a decent athlete. He is not the athlete that Kevin White is. But honestly, Kevin White's value, I don't know about you two guys. Have you guys seen it drop that much?
Did you see where he went in that startup we just did? Where was it a year ago? Second round in a startup. Yeah. He went in the ninth round of this startup.
That's true. But it was a super flex. And
no, so was Northwest with a super flex. He went in the end of the second round. Or it was a 2.08, whatever, however you want to categorize it as mid or late.
Yeah.
It was a Kyle, I believe.
Yeah. And Cameron Meredith, I think, didn't go too far after Kevin White. I'm pretty sure it was like a couple rounds, but
other way around, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh God, I'm off then. This is why I don't talk about them.
I'm pretty sure Cameron Meredith went the seventh, mid to end of the seventh, and Kevin White went at the beginning of the 9:02, maybe 9:01, I believe.
Honestly, I'd feel better switching those around. I'll take my chance on the higher draft pick, the superstar athlete that could maybe turn it around. He had some really fluky injuries, and it sucks for him because, honestly, out of school, I liked him. I was rooting for him. I didn't like the situation. I didn't like kind of like the backstory hit the 1 year. I just cheered for him because it seemed like he was the JUCO route, went to West Virginia, played very well there, and then got drafted in the top 10. I just kind of root for those guys. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get Kevin White for a second-round pick, who would you rather take over Kevin White right now?
In a second round, nobody.
Yeah. So
it's not even close to me, honestly.
Yeah. And honestly, you could probably make that deal right now. But the funny thing is, Cameron Meredith, you could trade him to get like a late first, early second, even an 18.
Not impossible.
The 18 class is looking really nice. And you could go into that class and get picks from there like I did.
I was going to say, yeah, you could probably pull an 18 first.
Yeah. An 18 first.
You don't know that yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would look to do that. I'd look to possibly buy Kevin White low, if you can, and sell Cam Meredith high.
All right. So, Tim, this brings up another one of these older running backs for you. You have one, Matt Forte. Go on.
The title of the segment is "What the hell do you do with these guys?" And he's 31. Yeah, he's going to be 32 next December. So in season next year, if he would make it to December, he'd turn 32 in the season.
Wait, hold on. The way you worded that was you actually maybe thought he might die.
He's 31. He's played 2,700 career touches for this young man. I call him young. He's only 4 years younger than me.
Let's just say something. Tim,
if he retires tomorrow, he still will be 32 in December.
Is going for the Matt Forte look, though. Let's look at it. He's got the kind of the goatee.
I got the goatee, the hat. Yeah.
He's got the Forte.
Not nearly as athletic or shredded.
We don't know that. We don't know.
I'm telling you that it's not even close. Not even close. He's so in football years, he's so old. And it's sad. Matt Forte has been a very, very good running back for such a long time, especially all those years with the Bears. More than likely, new QB. The wide receivers are big question marks. They still haven't hired an offensive coordinator, last I knew. And I was hearing rumors of Chip Kelly possibly being the OC in New York. Ooh, not a fan. A whole lot of question marks around an older running back. If you have Matt Forte, I personally would try to get anything I could for him. Put him in a package, you know, with a pick to try to move up in the draft. Put him with another player to get an upside young talent. Something I would try to get him off my roster, and if I don't have Matt Forte, I definitely wouldn't be looking to buy.
Is there any what would you be willing to pay? Like, what price would it have to go down to for you to be willing to pay for him?
I mean, if I'm running back desperate, I am still only going to pay a third round pick for Matt Forte.
Interesting. Okay,
I agree.
I mean, he's probably worth like a mid second, realistically,
maybe,
but I'm not going to pay that for Matt Forte. I'm sorry. He's going to be 32 next season. I can't do it.
Now, this next one, I actually thought about giving to Tim because I do talk about him every now and again. The next one up for me is one Carlos Hyde. There's been a lot of talk about Carlos Hyde because of the rumors of Kyle Shanahan going on over there. The idea is there'll be a new coach, probably, and most definitely a new OC, probably a new quarterback. But, I mean, everybody's kind of happy about it. Like, oh, look what Kyle Shanahan does with running backs. I'm not really sure that Carlos Hyde will be the main running back. I mean, his injuries are just piling up. He hasn't gone a whole season yet. He's 3 years into his career, and I don't think he's broken 12 games, like actual 12 games played, not just, you know, was not on the, you know, scratch list. And so this kind of freaks me out about Carlos Hyde. And I love the idea of Shanahan going there, and I love the idea of having an offensive-minded coach, but I just think by the time they actually build that team up enough to actually be productive, Carlos Hyde will be out of San Francisco or out of the league. One of the two. He's either going to be injury prone, just not re-signed, not signed anywhere, just put out as a backup, or he's just going to be just kind of middling. Like, he's not going to really. It's going to be too long. I mean, he's going to be entering his fourth year. I don't want to invest in Carlos Hyde. He's too expensive right now for what you're doing. Everybody's hyped up about it, and I don't want anything to do with it. He scares me at this point. And that's pretty much it. Like, I like Carlos Hyde as a talent, and when he's healthy, he does a lot with a little. Like, he produces a lot per attempt and a lot per touch. But at the end of the day, I just think you're paying a lot for a dude who's going to be injury prone and most likely in another team. Like, you're paying for his absolute ceiling with, you know, all things considered, and you're not going to get it. And I just think that that's kind of a bad bargain, and I don't like to invest in players like that. So right now, Carlos Hyde is a stay away. I've seen him go for late first. I'm not paying that. I don't think I'm paying anything higher than like 204. Like, that might be my line. And even then, I still am like a little bit weary of it because he hasn't done it. Like, if you combine all the statistics together, you have like one pretty good year. And this is not for me. So that's Carlos Hyde for me. I know, Tyler, you like Carlos Hyde a lot. I like the talent, but just what he follows through with, it's just not enough for me. You're paying too much of a price, I think. Unless if you can get him cheaper, great.
Yeah,
but Tyler,
I like him. Just I'm not
as a talent.
I like him a lot. Yeah, as a talent, I love him.
Me too. I love him as a talent. I think he's good.
Yeah, and honestly, I like the new situation. But like you said, his price is really high right now.
I mean, he did perform well with Chip Kelly, and, you know, not great circumstances and everything. But I just don't see this perfect storm coming that we keep hearing about. We heard it with Chip Kelly, and yeah, he performed really well, but he got injured. And I was like, oh yeah, now Kyle Shanahan, is he going to somehow get healthier? No. So I mean, that freaks me out. And the fact that he's never done it in at least in a season bothers me. But Tyler, that brings you up to another player who has been a kind of an underachiever lately. One, Jordan Matthews. I think this is somebody that we all have very strong opinions on one way or another, at least Tim and I do. And so I'm very curious about how you feel about one, Jordan Matthews. What the hell do you do with this guy?
Well, you've got it in the notes, young, struggling quarterback. I would have to disagree with that. I think Wentz showed very promising signs for the future. He did struggle at times this year, but he definitely progressed in a way I wanted to see out of a young quarterback. I think he's going to be a top 10 guy in
Tim,
the future.
Tim, did Carson Wentz struggle?
He had moments where he struggled. He had those first 4 weeks where he was playing off the charts. And
yeah,
I didn't see that continuing. And then we had a good 5 to 6 week stretch there where we got to see a rookie figuring out the league and the league figuring out this rookie. And then I'd say the last like 3 to 4 weeks, we really got to see Carson Wentz start to show a little more signs of what he could possibly turn into.
So 50-50?
Yeah.
I'll settle on 50-50.
I hate the move that they made to get Carson Wentz. I don't completely hate Carson Wentz, the player, though. I think there's definitely some positive signs for the guy.
He makes throws where you're just like, wow, that nobody should be able to do that. He's very talented. But Jordan Matthews, he's probably losing his number one job, which is good, because I'm going to say he is a good number two.
Perfect.
He needs to lose that number one job. He is never, in my eyes, even coming into the league, I never drafted him because he had that work ethic type thing. I love that. But he just wasn't a guy where I saw a number one. He is going to be a great number two, though. He is right on the fringe of talent of a low-end one, a high-end two, and he could easily be that high-end two. And I think if they bring in a Corey Davis, if they get a Mike Williams, that would be fantastic.
They won't get either one of those two.
If they get an Alshon in the free agent,
maybe
that would be great. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but DeSean Jackson would not fit with him. I just don't see that, because let's be honest, he would still be the quote unquote one if DeSean Jackson went.
Gotcha. I think they wouldn't go with Wentz well, and I was like, no, that actually think would work well. But yeah, oh, I understand your point. Yeah.
Yeah, he would work with Wentz well. Yeah, DeSean Jackson doesn't play the standard NFL number one role, so you still would be left with a team with no true number one.
He plays the number nine role.
Yeah, nine round.
And John Ross wouldn't be bad there, but I think the offense is turning around, and I think Jordan Matthews as a two would be a good player to have on a team. And if you can get him for a cheap price because somebody's like, well, he's not showing these wide receiver one skills that I want, then yeah, go around and buy him. But I honestly, I don't know if I'd give a first for him right now.
Really? You're not getting him then?
Yeah. I think there's a possibility, except in Tim's leagues because he's in the Philly area. But I think there's a possibility that you could get him for like a 202, 201, maybe 2 seconds. But you'd have to do it closer to the draft time because you got to remember that. That fever is catching up to people. That draft fever is getting to people. And when it happens, it hits, and it hits hard. So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely look to buy if they do draft another receiver or bring somebody in. But as a one, no.
All right. So, Tim, that brings you back up with one, Thomas Rawls. So now you know why I did not give this one to Tyler, because I cannot hear another blowjob of one CJP.
And that's what the 90 seconds would be. It would just be about how great CJ ProSice is.
Don't tell me, bro. My God. I know.
And listen,
I was here before you.
And listen,
he's not listening.
I agree with Tyler. I think CJ ProSice is a very talented weapon in this offense. I think he could be a great pass catching running back, but he doesn't run with the same style Thomas Rawls does. And that's that between the tackles banger. And sometimes watching Thomas Rawls, I don't know if he cares too much about his body and his health, because he runs very fierce. But we saw this year, once he came back from injury, I want to say his yards per carry average was under 3. Maybe it was just above 3, I want to say.
It was somewhere around 3.
It was 3.2.
He had the playoff game that was just beastly.
He did have the game against Detroit where he ran for 161 yards. But other than that, that is the only game this year in the 7 games he touched his last year yards per carry average of 5.6 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 games last year, 830 yards, 7 games this year, 349. So that is trending in the wrong direction. That Seattle offensive line is truly the issue there. They need to get an offensive line in front of Russell Wilson and whoever they're going to put back there, running back. And honestly, until they do, CJ Procise is the kind of running back that's going to thrive because of the dump off short passes, the screenplays, and things that are going to keep defenses honest and not be just sending the house because they know this offensive line's trash.
What? Okay, here's a question. What is Thomas Rawls is worth? What would you be willing to pay for him? What would he normally go for? Because you seem to be lower on him, which is fine.
I am definitely lower on Thomas Rawls. I would try to get Thomas Rawls for like a mid to late second. I think this playoff game, if it's a smart seller, is going to bring up these stats from this Detroit game and be like, oh my God, look what he did here. Oh, look. And they could probably push it for like a late first round pick for Thomas Rawls, but I'm not in that camp. I'm not going to get there.
Fair enough. All right. So my last one up is one Eddie Lacy. As we all know, he's had two pretty bad years now, both of them with injury. He's a free agent. I would be wildly surprised if the Packers picked up his option. It would be pretty expensive, especially considering he hasn't done a thing in 2 years, more or less, other than destroy diets. Now, the thing about Eddie Lacy that I'm very torn about is that when he does run and when he does play, you see a talent that's above average. I'm not saying he's amazing. I'm not saying he's, you know, this fantastic talent. But he has talent. He is above average when he's healthy. And I do like that about him, that he has very good vision for a bigger dude. His acceleration is better than you think. He knows how to use the offensive line. He knows how to use his body. I like that in a running back. That's better than average. Now, my problem with Eddie Lacy is the injuries, the conditioning, I feel is obvious. Then
really?
I'm also not
really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thank you, Viz. Yeah, really.
I had a friend that posted a picture side by side, and it was Eddie Lacy the year that he was kind of getting, you know, ridiculed for the weight, and it was his rookie training camp. Holy cow! Literally.
Yeah, when he came out, he was what 230, 225.
He was ripped. Holy cow!
I don't know if I'd say ripped, but yeah, I understand your point. But with Eddie Lacy, I think the thing is that I'm scared of where he's going to go. I'm really scared of this with him. I think that there are lots of places where he could excel pending health. Washington being an obvious place. I think he's much better than Rob Kelly. I think he could go to a place like, I'm just trying to spitball now. Oakland is a place I think he could excel in. I think Tampa would be a place he could excel in.
Good. Wow. Yeah.
I also think a place like Carolina he could excel in. I think there are lots of spots that he could go, but then there are lots of spooky spots, which I don't like. I don't want him going to a place like Indy. I don't. That offensive line is too bad.
And the food there is really good, so that'd be trouble.
It's a good really? I've never heard about Indy being a food hub.
I just needed to make the joke. I was hoping he's going to say like Philly or Chicago.
Chicago, New York,
Philly, LA. Philly is definitely an option to me, honestly. Philly is an option that I do like, but it's not ideal for him.
What do we call him? Cheesesteak Eddie?
Cheesesteak Eddie. Yeah.
Tim's like, Baltimore. That's a restaurant down the street.
Oh, Eddie's
Baltimore would be interesting to me. I do like the idea of Baltimore. What?
No, he's trying to hold off to Dixon.
I like Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah, you can like him all you want. Doesn't mean he's a lead back. I mean, there are a number of places he could go. And so if you can buy him for very cheap, I've seen him for go very cheap. If you can do that, I'm all for it. But I am not paying anything higher than 2.05. I think that's the highest I'd be willing to go.
I don't think
you wouldn't go that high, or you wouldn't sell for that low.
I wouldn't give that.
Okay. You would not give 2.05 for Lacy.
No, I'd rather take the shot on a skinny running back.
Oh, fine. You can take Wayne Gallman. I'll take Eddie Lacy from here.
Gross.
Until they both retire. Who will have more yards?
I want to say this out loud. Al, you're stupid for taking Gallman. There you go. Okay. He's a friend of mine in a home league who's in love with Wayne Gallman.
He's awful.
He's like, I'm going to take him 201. And I'm like, you can enjoy that.
Enjoy that. That's garbage. But yeah, I mean, I'd be willing to pay up to 205, I think, depending on what my team was, if I just need that one last piece. But you might be able to get him for cheaper. I'd be more than okay paying 2/3 for him. A late second, I'd be pretty comfortable with. Just because he's at least done it. What's up? That's your line?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's more realistic. But I'm saying in a pinch, if you can take the hit, then I think I'd be willing to go up to 205. But it really depends on your team. He's done it before. He's done it twice. That's two times better than Wayne Gallman ever has. So actually, that's not, because that'd be zero. Kyler loves Wayne Gallman, by the way, just saying that out there.
You're not going to make that a thing, because I have stated
that is a thing.
That is gross.
That's a thing.
I'm quitting. I'm done.
Speaking of a bigger back who's in a tumultuous situation, that's my word of the day. I don't know if you noticed. Is one Doug Martin.
Pee-wee Herman, you know, the word of the day.
I don't have kids, so I guess I don't get this joke. All right, anyways.
You weren't a kid?
No, that's when we were kids.
Yeah, that was
it. I came out of the womb fully sized, more or less. It was the worst pregnancy ever for my mother. Anyways,
three
Doug
days.
Martin. 3 days. She's never recovered. Anyways, take that however you want. Anyways, Doug Martin, that's all you. You can lay down the foundation. You can discuss this however you want. Knock yourself out. Doug Martin.
Gross. I was selling 2 years ago.
Wait, is that it? Is that all you got? Gross.
It could just be all it. And people would be like, yeah, I completely agree.
Gross. The end.
I'm telling you, there are some real Doug Martin truthers out there. A lot more than you think.
All in a cave hiding.
You know, in all seriousness, you know who Doug Martin reminds me of? A worse version of Jeremy McNichols. Just saying.
Honestly, I think that's true. But
Tim Torch is so angry right now. Just
okay. In all honesty, we love Tim Torch. He was huge to our success.
Huge.
And we're not trying to rip on you, Tim.
Wrong.
It's just some things you say. Like we have no idea what McNichols is going to be, but we know Doug Martin is what Mike Wright calls a poop sandwich. You got the nice years on the outside, and then you got the crap on the inside. But now you're making two layers of it, because, you know, yeah, pretty much.
Double decker.
But is he going to put another bread on top, or is it just going to be like, well, we're going to double up on the crap?
Just more poop.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan. I think the PED thing says a lot to me. It shows that he wanted to be better, but it showed that he couldn't make himself better.
Hold on. Do you know what he got PED'd for?
Yeah, Adderall.
Yeah, Adderall does not make you better. It just makes you awake.
Yes, and
it's a stimulant.
And I didn't sell him any. Just want to tell you.
I don't know why you would even think that you were part of the investigation.
Well, maybe we have the same problems. So,
maybe.
But no, Doug Martin. Yeah, Doug Martin is a guy who, honestly, I liked in college. I did. I thought Tim's a Boise State guy. He probably liked him.
Loved him.
But he just maybe wore down, but I don't know what it is. He just doesn't look the same. I think the contract year is a big thing to me. And I sold when people were like, oh yeah, contract year, I'm going to buy him for cheap. Well, I didn't sell him for cheap, and I still sold him. He was $44, 4 years left, and at auction, the same league, for $300. I sold him for, I want to say, 2 seconds and a third, and I was happy. I was like, I'm done with him. That's it. But yeah, I don't want him. That's all.
Okay, let's do it some value here. Would you give $212 for Doug Martin? $301.
Nope.
You answered a lot. I can't tell which one you answered faster. When I said that you and him share the same problem with baby dicks, when you said yes so quickly, or no for the value. All right, so let's go a little bit higher. $306 or Doug Martin.
Nope.
All right, $312 or Doug Martin.
Nope.
No, you have to actually pick one. This is not a no situation. I don't even understand the this or that. It's not this, that, or no. It's this or that.
I don't even want to pick affiliated with Doug Martin.
Do you want a 412 or Doug Martin?
I'll probably take 412. I'll take the shot.
Really?
look at Tim. Tim's like, Tim, wow, I can't believe you take Doug Martin.
I need some sanity. Tim, 301 or Doug Martin?
Yeah, I would take Doug Martin.
All right, 212 or Doug Martin?
Gross.
210 at best. I mean, I'm not going to.
210 at best. Oh. Thank you. Made my life easier.
Oh. Really, guys?
I didn't even say how I did it.
This is what I have to work with, you guys. This is.
You mentioned that he's a poop sandwich. Well, you have to have the crusts.
You're gonna take a bite
to make a sandwich. You have to have crust to make a sandwich. He can make the crust. He can make the bread. He can make the dough. We don't know if 210 can do anything.
Did he work at
when 210 could get cut before camp starts?
Whoa.
Okay.
How do we know he can make bread? I want to know. Go back here.
No. Let's be honest. When that sandwich is in on your plate, are you going to take a bite? Are you going to be comfortable with taking a bite of that sandwich, aka starting it, putting it in your lineup?
Sticking the hot thing in your mouth.
Would you be comfortable with starting 412 right now?
Hey, Crowell was 412 in a league 1 year.
Would you be comfortable with starting 412?
Would you have started Isaiah Crowell the week one of his rookie season?
No, you wouldn't.
No, because Tate had the job.
Oh, yeah. Ben Tate. I forgot about him.
Yeah, Ben Tate.
Oh.
He was a thing.
There is
a second rounder.
You can make up a line, a story where Doug Martin can be a starting running back. Maybe not somewhere. Week one because he's going to be suspended, but after the four-game suspension, he could be a starting running back somewhere in this league where 212 might not make it through camp. He realistically could not make it through camp.
Well, yeah, because it's not a player. It's 212.
A 212 will eventually turn into a player. You're going to take a player with that pick. There's a possibility that player doesn't even make it through camp.
I'm starting 212. Like, I just want the numbers to be out there, getting the ball handed off to him.
Yeah.
All right, but to get this back on the tracks really quickly.
All right.
Both of you, Tim first. Is Doug Martin on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2017, week one?
No.
Tyler?
Agreed. No.
Okay. Now, is he a starting running back his first week back after suspension? Is he, you know, given that role his first week back? Like, it's assumed that when he comes back, that's his role. Tyler?
No.
Tim?
Chances are that's not the case.
Okay. Is it possible that wherever he goes, it's not Tampa Bay, that he is the most productive back in that backfield in 2017? Is that in the realm of possibilities, Tim?
Definitely in the realm of possibilities, yes.
Tyler?
Yeah, if he went to New England in the LeGarrette Blount role, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I just want to make sure people understand that although we don't like Doug Martin, there is still a chance, just a very, very, very slim
Giants,
one in the end.
Jets, Redskins, Bears.
By me saying by 412 is me just saying in general, I don't want him. I just want people to know that I wouldn't trade my picks for Doug Martin. He's older. He's got this suspension. No.
It's duly noted that you were speaking in hyperbolic terminology. We understood it just fine.
I don't like big words.
Yeah. You like other big things. So I thought maybe you like big words. All right. Now, anyways, over to
let's get this last one done.
For your last one here. You have one Latavius Murray, who I see very similarly as Doug Martin, but I don't actually know how you feel about him. I know how Tyler feels about him. Yeah, thank you. I just said I know how you feel about him. That means
worse than Doug Martin.
Really?
Yes.
I agree with you. Anyways, let's not let this influence Tim. So, Tim, hopefully you're blocking your ears and you can hear that. Tim, Latavius Murray.
I just mentioned I would probably trade at best like the 210 for Doug Martin. Latavius Murray.
Seriously, can you shut up for 2 minutes?
Latavius Murray is in such a gray range for me. There just isn't anything about him that I like, but there isn't anything that I like hate. It's not like, oh my God, this guy stinks. I've had him on teams and I've sold him on everyone I've had him on. I've bought him in other places just to turn around and resell him. So there's a minor level of interest because I am willing to buy Latavius Murray at times, but the second I see an opportunity to sell, I'm going to turn around and sell him again. Second straight year with a 4.0 yard per carry average, when this year we had two running backs with Washington and Rashard, both with over 5 yards per carry. Murray's a completely unrestricted free agent going into this offseason. There's plenty of places that could...
CUFA? Completely unrestricted
free agent? Yeah, CUFA. This is like... new class, like the Raiders were like, yeah, dude, we don't want anything to do. And I'm not, and that's not coming from anywhere. The Raiders, I'm sure, will at least have talks and see what kind of price he's looking for. And if he's asking for too big of a number, I don't see how the Raiders can overpay for this guy for sure.
Okay. Are we in agreement that Latavius Murray is not on the Raiders in 2017?
I think there's a possibility he could, but I personally
believe what are the chances?
I believe that he's going to ask for too big of a number, and the Raiders with Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, those guys have to get paid. Khalil, they can't afford to sign Latavius Murray to some sort of big number contract, so he's going somewhere else.
I have a confession to make, and I don't mean to turn this into a song. R.I.P. Dave Grohl. Anyway, Anyways, yeah, he's still alive.
I thought you were going with Usher. This is my confession.
Oh, no, no. I was thinking of Foo Fighters.
Well, this completely changed everything. This joke went sour.
I'm surprised someone got angry when I said RIP Dave Grohl. I have a confession to make. There's something I have this weird hatred of Latavius Murray that when I actually see him, like pictures of him, I think he looks like an idiot. Like I assume in daily life he has a very hard time walking down the street and doing everyday things.
I was gonna say he does look like he would struggle to finish a crossword.
Yeah, no doubt. And I would say, even if these were like three-lettered words crossword puzzles, I would have a hard time believing he would know how to finish them. Well, I don't know where this
is. Can I just say letters. why are we firing at this guy off the field when we already do it enough with his on the field ability?
No, that was a confession I had to make.
Real quick, Doug Martin, we need some of that Adderall. We are way off track here.
I'm good.
But there's something about Latavius Murray. I don't know what it is, like beyond my hatred of his, the way he plays, which I think is wildly sloppy and inefficient. It's terrible. I look at him and I think he's stupid. And I don't know. I can't explain it. It's wildly irrational. But I just think that if he walked into contract negotiations, the Raiders were like, listen, you know, Latavius, how much do you want? He was like, oh, I want $4 million a year. And the Raiders were like, wow, we were looking more like for like two. He would go, all right, one. Like, I can imagine that that's the process of negotiations he has.
His agent's just like, no.
Latavius, what are you doing? No, shut up, man. I'm getting a good deal here. This is how I imagine him negotiating. Again, no rational reason. There's no, like, I met the dude once. He just has a dumb-looking face.
You're just about to, I'm guessing, because obviously he listens.
He's going to come to my house, and he's going to complete. He's like, what, 6'4", 220? He's going to kick my ass. There's really no question.
You can't outrun him.
Yeah. If I put an offensive lineman in front of me, I could outrun him.
Because he'll run to their back.
Like exactly. You could say some big words and he'd be stumped for a while. get a head start.
That is factually correct.
There. That would do it. That would probably do it. Wait, factually? Hold on. Is this a math question? Okay.
So does that wrap up the segment finally?
It does. And that being said, it does. I gave you guys seven each, and I did six for myself. If you're paying attention and not being doing an impersonation of Latavius Murray, you would have known that. Anyways,
you're the one taking shots at him. I'm taking shots at Doug Martin.
I'm not saying you. All right, but really quick, Tim, before I let you do the little wrap up here, since I lost my job at this, we do have one review. Unless you want to read it, were you going to do it?
No, go ahead. You can definitely read the review.
Hold on. No, in all seriousness, were you going to do it?
No,
I noticed we had a new one. All right,
I looked. I want to say 3 days ago, but
so yeah, I'm still the best in the job. All right, fair enough. All right, anyways, so this one comes in from Dexinator. I assume you're doing a play on words from Terminator. If so, good job. His is 5 stars. Solid Dynasty talk. This pod has been finding its voice over the past year, getting better with each episode. They picked up Tim on the waiver. Did I read this last week?
You did. That's the one I saw just the other day.
Whoa, hold on. This
still
is
best at the job.
Wait. It's not actually possible. This was... It's not mathematically possible. Today's the 22nd. The review is left on the 16th. We last time we recorded was on the 7th.
You picked up Tim from the waiver.
Wait. Hold on. The review was left on the 6th. No, shut up. The review was left on the 16th. Today's the 22nd. That's 6 days. So it's left on Monday. So how could I have read this on Sunday if it was published on Monday?
Just reread it. Don't get all sour.
I don't remember saying Dexinator. Did I? I didn't say it.
No.
All right. Anyways.
That's an embarrassing name to say out loud.
No, that's cool. they picked up Tim on the waiver wire to strengthen the pod. No, I sent this to you in a private message, you dildos, on Monday.
Yeah, it was a private message, so.
Yeah, who's
jokes
the smart
on
one?
You. Jokes
that's
on
their
you.
Job. Eat dicks. All right, anyways.
They start Latavius is behind him, kind of pointing out where to go.
No, right there. You got to go right here.
You're welcome. I brought this down to the pod. Anyways, they struck gold late in the season when their weekly recap included a focus on young developing assets. I hope they continue that for the next season. We will, as it was different from any other pod I listened to. Great listen for up to date Dynasty info. Keep it up. Thank you, Dexinator. We greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Tim, do the job. And I'm going to criticize the whole time. Just whether I do it verbally or mentally is still in question.
Oh, here comes the dirty looks. Dexinator, thank you so very much for the wonderful review. And Chris, Tyler and I both apologize. We know we had heard that one before, but that's because you did the job the right way and you shared it with us as soon as you saw it. So thank you very much. But that's going to wrap up our show. I hope that between all the odd ramblings that we had on today's show, you find some Dynasty Gold in there and take something away from the show for sure. And so if you would like to support the show, there's multiple ways you can do it. The first one, go over to iTunes, the Google Play Store. You can leave us reviews on there. That is greatly appreciated. It helps with the algorithms. It helps other people find our podcast. It gets us up there in the rankings. It's a free and amazing way to help the podcast out, and it doesn't take too much time. Another way you can help us out is go over to represent.com and buy a t-shirt. We have t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, and hoodies all over there. Other than that, you can find our stuff on Twitter. Chris, we'll let you go ahead first. Where can people find you?
Latavius Murray. You can find me at Chris Whitman 11.
You know, every time I see him now, like in the free agent market, and they have news about him, I'm gonna be like, oh, he really overshot his number.
Tyler, what about you? Where can people find you, sir?
At DHH Gunth.
And you can find me on Twitter at Tim Dynasty FF.
And you can find us on Instagram now. And we will also have Periscope. We are going to try to get more involved with the fan.
Do you even know what Periscope is, you two?
It's something you see in the space. I'm pretty sure.
A Periscope is actually something that was on a submarine.
Oh, I tried to do my best Latavius Murray impersonation.
Oh, okay.
That was bad.
I think I used Periscope once months ago just to kind of check it out. But,
yeah, you know. It'll be something we'll use to kind of just little tiny live segments, just kind of explaining like
hot takes.
Hot takes. Like Chris will hop on one time and be like, well, here's
Latavius Murray.
Here's my top five rookie running backs or something quick.
Something like stuff
like that, you know. We just want to give more to you guys because you guys obviously are giving a lot to us by listening.
We're the giving type in all aspects of life. We give Latavius Murray a whole persona that's probably not even accurate, but just makes sense.
Watch him be like a scholar.
Yeah.
Where did he go to school?
It was a small school, like community college or something like that.
It is decided. I'm vindicated.
San Diego State Community College for the listening.
Quint Sigmund Community College.
Oh, what was the school in Zoolander? I forget the name of that school. Anyways.
What about the college from Saved by the Bell that Zach Morris makes up? Boris College? Was that what it was?
Wow.
Boris. He buys a degree online. Mr. Belding finds out.
I'm trying to think of the Zoolander one. The school for kids who can't read really well.
Can't read well and other stuff or something like that. Yeah.
That's a possibility. I mean, you can just name it differently and we don't know.
You can find the podcast on Twitter as well at DynastyHHPod. And if you have a longer form question that you would like answered, you can always reach out to us via email. DynastyHappyHour@gmail.com is where we can be reached there. So with that all being said, gentlemen, do either of you have any last words?
Tyler, you can go first.
Well, in all seriousness, it's been a great day. Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl, and I hope they destroy the Patriots because you guys have won too much. That's all. Just give somebody else a chance. Please. And Bill Belichick, stay away from our training facility. Don't try to spygate, deflategate, any of that stuff, because I know how you are and I'm watching. But also in serious news, I just found out my sister is pregnant. Congratulations, Christina. I'm very happy for you.
It's not mine.
Mine either. Don't come knocking. all right. So last thing up. He went to Central Florida, by the way, one Latavius Murray. And I really wish, this is my little soliloquy of the day. I really wish that Latavius Murray was a quarterback, so that way he had to take the Wonderlic. And so that way I could check out his Wonderlic score on Player Profiler.
Do you think it would be like a three? That's way lower than I honestly thought.
That's more like my level.
I was going to give him like an 8. Okay.
Let's see if I can find this out real quick. Latavius Murray Wonderlic. Probably spelled that wrong.
you might want to clear Google history after that one.
Yeah, I mean, especially since I'm calling the dude an idiot, I probably don't want to have on there that I spelled Wonderlic wrong. I'm not finding it here. That's unfortunate.
Non-existent. It's bad enough.
He didn't take it. Hey, it's like Laquan Treble didn't run the 40 in the combine. Latavius Murray skipped the Wonderlic in the combine as well. The smart guy for skipping the thing that make him look stupid. Just saying. It's not a bad move.
All right, Tim. How about you?
Do you have any last words?
I don't have any last words. I enjoyed the show. I look forward in 2 weeks to a fantastic Super Bowl. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think these two teams are a good match.
Atlanta's defense is firing in all cylinders right now. Ooh,
they're definitely playing much better than they were the first half of the season for sure. And is anybody else a little more excited than usual for the Pro Bowl because of the skills competition?
No, I am. Skills comp. Yeah.
I love the skills comp, man. I remember that as a kid. The little chalk on the nose of the footballs moving thrown at those moving targets.
Yep.
So I look forward to that.
But what was I gonna say? Oh, with Atlanta's defense, I do want to bring up, I had a friend text me say Atlanta's defense is really going for the jugular. And then he texted me and he said, yep, they just ripped it out. Like, that's how Atlanta's defense is playing right now.
They're overperforming for sure.
You mean,
I know, it's fine.
Are they overperforming? Are they a young defense with a bunch of, you know, first and second year players that are finally starting to play as a unit?
I think that's it.
They got a very good head coach who is a former defensive coordinator. They got a bunch of young talent on this defense, and I think it just took a little bit of time to mold him into what he wanted.
You know who I absolutely love? This is my last word. Devondre Campbell.
Oh.
The linebacker from Minnesota. I saw him play in Minnesota, and he was good, but holy cow, he looks great in this defense. So good for you, man.
All right. Fair enough. Anything else here?
Nope. All right. We will see everybody next week.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.